Well, this is our first episode with a sword boy that's a sword girl. So we're super excited.
Milady.
And
Milady.
Milady de Winter.
Milady de Whitaker.
Yeah. All right, start
Episode
it.
title. Here we are. Hey guys, welcome to Sword Boys. We're back. I don't know what this attitude is, but this is the energy we're going to bring to this podcast. We're on cut five of Three Musketeers, and we have another guest. Cut five,
I
cut
watched
four.
cut four. I hope it was four.
Oh God, yeah. I watched cut four too. Yeah, cut four. We're on cut four. We're used to doing these in twosies, so I'm a little thrown off. We have our fourth. Because in Three Musketeer movies, there are always four people. So welcome to our guest, Liz Whitaker. Welcome, Milady de
Milady.
Whitaker.
Don't worry, I have a dagger in my hair somewhere.
Oh, good. Speaking of daggers, Robin?
Yeah.
Rick? You gonna
I'm staring daggers at all of you.
That's right. We are back for cut four. It begins at 51 minutes, 45 seconds, and it ends at 1 hour, 9 minutes, 15 seconds. It begins with D'Artagnan joining Athos at his pity party, and it ends with Milady slipping out the back while her brother-in-law comes snooping.
And I'm Robin. So yeah, welcome to another D'Artagnan is here to take up the mantle. So we have questions for D'Artagnans. Number one, which musketeer do you picture each of us being? And also, which singer for All for Love do you picture all us three being?
Interesting. Okay, well, I thought the first question was going to be, how is it that I bring such a level of professionalism everywhere I go?
Yeah,
but
coming up,
I guess
coming
we'll
up.
Just, you know, that'll be a later right. question. Okay. let's see. I think Jonathan is probably...
There's a lot
Porthos?
Riding in this. Porthos.
I am Porthos. Yes, you're correct. You win.
And then I think Robin is Aramis.
I've got the tiger blood flowing through me. Okay.
I get well, but does that really mean Rick is
that would make me the Athos.
And trust me, Rick's
yeah,
a real
okay,
Athos.
Fine. All right, that's fine.
I can't be an Athos. Athos.
That's
sometimes.
Fine. That's what I've got.
Cool. Okay. Well, the next one, of course, All for Love is the song of this movie. So there's Bryan Adams, Sting, and Rod Stewart. So which one of us fits into those roles for you?
You're all Bryan Adams.
Oh, yeah. Well, makes sense.
But listen, well, to be fair, Bryan Adams was the first concert I ever saw.
I really thought you were going to say something different. I really thought it was going to be like your first love, like your first crush.
Well, no, he was opening for Henry Lee Stewart or Henry Lee Summer, who we were actually there to see, but he was the opening act. So technically he was my first concert.
Okay. All right.
Very cute.
I was very into Henry Lee Summer as a child.
I don't know who the hell Henry Lee Summer is.
Yeah. I'm like, Bryan Adams opened up for. Sure, it's not Ryan Adams you're talking about.
What movies?
No,
what movies did Henry
Bryan
Lee
Adams
Summer
was
write?
Probably in middle school when this happened.
Oh, okay.
Because I was Henry like Lee, yeah. five or six.
Did Don't Henry worry, Lee Summer some... write music for movies that we know about?
Honestly, hang on. I didn't realize I was going to talk about Henry Lee Summer, so. I honestly don't
Is there
remember.
A Milady Lee Summer?
he's an American rock singer and musician from Indiana. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Okay, so local boy for you.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, I wish I had a girl. You've probably heard that song. I think
I
wish
I've
I had
lived
a
it
girl
many years.
Like that.
The good thing
I
is
wish
that
I
they
had that girl.
you can sing all you want. Zoom won't pick it up. So it'll just, it'll be
okay.
It'll be dead air. Well, you know what? I'm gonna put it right here. I'm gonna put that song in. Here it is.
Okay.
Okay, now we've heard it.
You're not gonna do that.
It's very good. I will put it in there just for you. Liz.
God, there are so many times I hear that, and
you're gonna
listen to the
actually
episode.
Edit something.
No, not really well, but I'll edit it. Someone write down how far into this part are we.
You might have to listen to like the first 10 minutes of the recording before just pushing it out to the internet.
Okay, here's a question that is only Liz specific. If you don't know Liz and you're listening to this episode, she doesn't have the breadth of movies that she's watched. She has very specific ones that she has fixated on and is very good about it and knows them a million backwards and forwards. Liz, have you seen this movie before? Is this one of the movies that you'd seen before?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I was
hoping because it was in the Disney genre, like it kind of like it is a lighter.
It's a pre-MCU.
Yeah. How many other Three Musketeers movies have you seen?
None.
Okay. this all tracks. So great. Yeah. That's all I wanted to know. That's what we're trying to figure out. Okay.
Yeah. No, this played on the Disney Channel when I was a kid.
This makes sense. Yeah.
Like
and
a
do
lot.
You like it?
I love it.
Did you find a D'Artagnan cute? Wants us to think?
I think I liked his hair. Mm. I know that the 90s really tried to make Chris O'Donnell happen.
We talked about this previously. Yes.
But I don't know. I think he seems kind of just like a little brother.
Hmm.
I don't remember how I felt about it as a kid, but I think I just thought of like, oh, it'd be fun to hang out and go on adventures with him.
Hmm. Oh, I like that. Rick, Robin, same question. Who do you find either the most attractive of the four in Three Musketeers? I don't think we've brought this up.
Oh, most attractive.
As a kid, look at one and go, I like his look. He seems, yeah. Like I kind of liked Moody Broody. Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Athos, I kind of thought he was like cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to like what as like a young boy are you told by this movie, like you want to be this guy because he's the cool guy. I always thought, okay, yeah, the Kiefer Sutherland role in this movie, he's the one that like if you grew up to be him, you'd be all set.
Gotcha.
Well, and I think probably as a kid, I was like, oh, he has the tragic love story. So like he's the most
interesting.
Like, swoony. Yeah.
Yeah, and in this first scene, you know, getting into it, there's some little brother, big brother energy here. Mm. You fight like a man. Let's see if you can drink like one.
I'll drink anything you put in front of me.
And I was like, oh, I've never heard anything less manly. Like, you just turned 21. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what would you like to drink? Bring me a tall beer. Okay.
She hasn't learned yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Not learned yet.
That's when Porthos slams a can of Quatre Loco in front of him. And
what?
A
Quatre. Nice. What's the first thing you remember ever drinking? What was your first drink? Do you remember?
Breast milk.
Oh, well, you're fixated today.
Gross.
It was awkward because he was 21 at the time.
It's gross.
I was so parched.
I remember.
I was like, I will drink anything you put in front of me.
I was in a bar in Europe on a field, like not a field trip. That sounds like we like drove a bus to Europe, but we were on like we flew there. Like a normal people do. And we were there.
Oh,
like,
really?
It was a Latin club. And we all went to like the Latin, the Roman parts. And we were literally in a discotheque.
Is the Latin club the Jets or the Sharks?
Great. It's the Sharks, I think. And they, right. And I remember, we were all like, oh, who's going to order first? Cause you can drink at any age basically. And I went J&B straight. Cause I didn't know one. I had seen commercials for J&B on the back of like Rolling Stone magazine in the 80s. And I said straight, cause I didn't know any of the
other lingo.
So basically, they handed me a tall glass of alcohol with nothing in it. And I sipped it and I went, oh, this is not good, guys.
I have made a mistake.
So, and then someone sat down and handed me something that looked like orange juice and said, this is called a screwdriver. Yeah. And I drank and I went, that's delicious.
Yeah.
And from then on.
I'm sure for me, it was wine coolers. It was some sort of wine cooler variation. Bartles and James.
Yeah.
Seagram's. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Rick.
Whatever.
I wish I could remember. My journey into alcohol started so late in life and was so discombobulated that I never committed it to memory. But I do remember visiting some friends of mine in college, and they had a like a cream-based alcohol mixer thing, and I poured it into an orange soda, and it immediately started to curdle, and I'm like, I've made a mistake.
That sounds awful.
Sounds on brand.
It was rank.
How are you, Liz?
I think I was doing vodka shots at my best friend's 18th birthday. It was also a mistake.
Yeah. Is that after a Fatty Lee Tubbins concert or whatever the hell you saw?
Boy, poor guy. It's called Fatty and Tubbins. Did George Lucas name him?
Listen, if what I've read on Google about Henry Lee Sumner has had any bearing, he was not tubby because he went from a cough syrup subscription addiction to meth. And so he got real skinny.
Well, he's from Indiana. So, you know,
it's one of the three options you have.
Right. Liz luckily got out. She got away from her addictions to
my meth. Roots.
Yeah. All right. So the movie, yeah. Guys.
For how serious this Athos D'Artagnan scene is, I'm really glad that we don't stick on the two shot that we start the scene with, because you can see Oliver Platt flailing up a storm in the background. And I would not be able to take Athos's backstory seriously if the whole time I had to watch Oliver Platt doing whatever he's doing with his barmaids back there.
Yeah. How do they? I hate to go back to the drinking again, but he's like, pours it. He's like, try this. How do you know what's in there? It is an unmarked bottle. It's just like, whatever. No, this is the good stuff. Okay. If you say so.
I'll trust.
Okay. I wonder in like a, you know, a tavern out in the middle of the woods somewhere, how many varieties of alcohol they even have. I mean, bottles
you're just drinking
XXX
that house
on
grog.
Yeah. That's what I think. It's like mostly water. They've watered it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, he seems to know his stuff. Obviously what we learn in this whole scene is he was a count. Guys, I hate to tell you this. Here's a big fact. This story's about him. He's the count.
Oh, wait, that now it makes sense.
That explains why in every scene he's always, you know, seeing how many things there are and then going, Liz caught on my joke real fast.
It's why in the next scene he's wearing a top hat and little tiny sunglasses. Because he is
sort of an oceans to see you, milady.
Yeah, milady, blah.
Milady.
So three more drinks.
Bring me more milk-based products so I can put it into orange juice, blah.
I love this combination of like Bram Stoker's Dracula plus the Count from Sesame Street. Let's get Gary Oldman on that.
Oh, I feel like he should have done this by now in some capacity. So he tells a story. Met a woman. They go out riding. He notices on her shoulder she has a fleur-de-lis, which is a murderer's mark.
According to this movie.
Yeah.
It really does stem from Alexandre Dumas. He made the fleur-de-lis the mark of a murderer. But I mean, it's really more of a royal symbol for purity. The only people that really were getting branded with the fleur-de-lis, as far as my research was telling, was slaves. Yeah. It was just like, yeah, just so you know, this guy belongs to King Louis. He's branded as his property.
So he, you know, he gave up on her and he gave her back to the authorities. She said she didn't do it. Okay. That's the, that's the story we're being given now.
Can I give you guys some background?
No, because you said you asked a question, so no.
I'm going to give you some background.
All right.
From the novel, if you're wondering why she's branded, what the real story is from the dumbass's mouth himself. In the novel, Milady was a nun at 16, seduced a priest. Milady's all about seducing. Every single situation she gets into, she's seducing.
She's got the tools.
Yeah. And she's got the talent. Seduced a priest to steal some golden chalices from the church so they could sell them and run away together, but they got caught. And of course, while she's in jail, she seduces a jailer's son to get released from prison and leave the guy to be the priest to be executed alone. But the executioner also happened to be the priest's brother. So after being forced to brand his brother, he ends up tracking down Milady and branding her with the same symbol. So yeah, Athos, who is the count at this point, is riding with Milady after they're married. She falls, reveals the brand, just like the movie says. But Athos does not turn her in. He decides then and there he's going to hang her. And so he hangs Milady, his wife, who's begging for her life and like, I didn't do anything. She's lying, but, you know, it's also.
I mean, I think of the grand, like, okay, I'm not a legal expert, especially in, you know, 17th century France.
Disclaimer, disclaimer.
I mean,
this isn't law, boys. You know,
technically, it was the priest who did most of the stealing, and she was just an accomplice to that theft.
I think it's more like
her idea. He was probably the one who actually perpetrated it. Yeah. So, you know,
they're blaming it on the woman.
Yeah.
For some, that's not a normal thing that men do, blame any of their faults on women. But this guy just happened to do that.
Rick, who do you think killed Milady Simpson and Ron Goldman? You think it was the guy driving the truck?
Listen,
do you think it was the accomplice?
I know we all loved watching that slow speed chase along the byway of the white Bronco being chased by all of the
hey,
other
white Broncos in this cut.
If the gauntlet fits, you gotta quit. Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Doesn't it fit? Anyway, Athos hangs her and just leaves her hanging from a tree and like runs off to join the Musketeers. And he gives up everything out of guilt, just like Athos does in this movie. But Milady somehow survives the hanging. So they're both like, they both don't realize that either of them is there. She's assuming that he went off and was depressed and killed himself. And he thinks that she's hanging dead from a tree somewhere.
So it's like a Three's Company episode. It's just a giant misunderstanding the entire time.
Misunderstanding, miscommunication.
As we see towards the end of this cut, you know, she did end up with Lord the Winter, which she then goes ahead and murders him for his wealth.
Yeah.
And after they're married. But since the Lord is the enemy of the Cardinal saves Milady from that execution. And that's how Milady ends up working for the Cardinal.
Now, I won't be defending Milady for the murder of Lord de Winter because I'm pretty sure she actually did do that and she didn't get a lackey to do it for her. But we'll talk about her lackeys later on because they are quite a pair.
Yeah, quite a pair.
Yeah.
So anyway, cannonballs.
Right.
Can we talk about cannonballs?
Yeah, well, anyway, I was like, cannonballs.
Yeah, I love this whole morning after everybody's hungover because of all the drinking. And then D'Artagnan says, oh, could you guys stop whistling? I think it's Aramis who says, oh, I hear whistling too. And then explosions just everywhere.
I went and looked it up. Cannonballs at this time did not explode.
Nope.
They just maimed you.
Yeah. Explosive cannonballs did not enter regular military rotation until like the 1860s.
That's what I found out too.
200 some odd years later.
Wouldn't they hear the explosion of the cannon? Like, why is it all of a sudden it's just, there's a whistling? Wouldn't they hear a big boom in the background?
Is the cannonball itself moving faster than the speed of sound? That's the big question that I didn't
I doubt
up.
It.
So anyway, they get shot at, they run away. I love this idyllic little area they're in. I did not look up the castle. Yeah. I do not know where that castle is.
This is Liechtenstein Castle. It's in Austria.
That's not in France.
It's in Austria, which of course sounds like Australia to the people behind this movie, but it is Austria. The Fifth Musketeer was filmed here as well, which features two twin King Louis. It must be an Iron Mask situation. Both of those twins played by Beau Bridges. So,
yep, that's the weirdest one. Liz, you should go look up some of the casting. We talked about this in earlier episodes, the casting of the bonkers Three Musketeers movies in the past. It's always like, you think this one's weird with a bunch of Americans. Go watch some other ones with a bunch of Americans.
A question I wanted to ask in the previous scene, though, was how much of a tough guy do you have to be when you're just cool with being knocked out? Like, you're all buzz. Oh, Athos punched me right out last night. That was hilarious.
Yeah, like, I don't think this was a isolated incident. I'm pretty sure this has happened many times before where Porthos has Porthosed his way into a situation where Athos knocks him out.
And I really like the laugh at the end. If we're going to go back to that little, it's as funny as his laugh when he's on top of the cart and he's like, this is a chase. You're right. Something red. You know, it's like him just appreciating the ridiculousness that is Porthos. So,
yeah, it's when the serious character allows himself to have a good laugh, we all laugh with him.
Yeah. We've all gotten together a lot and none of us have ever punched any one of our friends out for being drunk. Although we've wanted
start?
To.
We should start. Is it cool?
I just want to see one of our friends wake up in the morning and be like, did he punch me last night? Yeah.
I've never been punched in the face before. So
yeah, maybe I'll start a fight club. To say, in our friend group, how many people do you think have ever actually taken a punch?
Oh, none. Nor given.
Nope, me either.
I mean, I could probably use one. My nose is a little crooked, and it would be a lot to like get it professionally redone. But if I get cracked at the right angle, my insurance would probably cover it.
I'll remember this, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, next time we'll do a solid.
Yeah, you'll come stumbling into the doctor like Javier Bardem in Skyfall. I mean, like, could you fix me?
So now we've zoomed back to bath time. Are we at bath time now? We're at bath time in the castle.
Oh yeah.
Real quick. So they're being bombarded by cannonballs. We're seeing plumes of fire erupt from the ground where the cannonballs fall. I feel like it would have been more historically accurate to have air cannons throwing dirt up into the air, but burying a dirt cannon is a lot more work and time than just putting in an explosive charge. When they discover that they're being chased by mercenaries, they say, we'll split up. D'Artagnan rides with me. And Aramis says, we'll see you in Calais, Athos responding, or hell. And I love this idea of someone on the sidelines talking about how their tauntaun is going to freeze before they hit the first marker. And then Aramis saying, then we'll see you in Calais.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you in French hell.
Exactly. While they're fleeing, D'Artagnan is yelling, "Hia!" And out of curiosity, I did a text find search in my documents here. And the word "Hia!" appears 42 times in the subtitles of this movie. And in relation to getting drunk and being punched, I usually buy 750 milliliter bottles of liquor because it fits nicely in my cabinet. And if you took a shot every time you saw the word "Hia!" pop up on the bottom of the screen, you would go through 2.5 of those bottles
and be dead.
I would be dead.
And then get punched in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're either going to punch you in the face, Rick, or we're going to hang you. One of the two things is going to be done.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is don't do that.
We're
as
friends,
a game.
So we'll punch you in the face first.
Yeah.
So you're knocked out when you hang.
Yeah, you won't feel this.
I appreciate friends. That. And then make sure you cut my head off so you can take my quickening.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
I must have your power.
Lightning and explosions and all that stuff.
I'm not interested in your power. You can keep it. It's fine.
Liz doesn't want Rick's manpower. Everyone remember this.
I say, Liz, would you rather have Queen Anne's bathtub?
I want Queen Anne's bathtub.
Yeah, it's got a sweet pillow.
Queen Anne's bathtub sounds like a sex
move. Probably is just like growing thing.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so gross.
This pillow bothers me so much because it's
me
just
too.
Soak it up.
Why
all of that milk
like,
or whatever
okay
it is?
Okay to have pillows without tassels.
Well, they're French.
17th century France. Like the bathtub pillow probably doesn't need tassels.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty risque, I thought, for Disney at the time. This is actually relatively sexual.
You don't
this
only
whole movie,
see the top of her shoulders, you also see her knees
as As well, Robin has shown us with his background picture today, this movie has a lot of skin in it.
Speaking of question, do girls' chests, do they inflate when they're aroused? Serious question. Because the first time she saw D'Artagnan, she's asking, did you need the laces of your corset loosened? And it's like, I know she's not carrying anything down breathing below.
She got gas. She got gas, Robin.
I was just like, what does that even mean? All right.
And then the second best thing in this entire cut is just creepy cardinal showing up.
Poor Constance. Did she get like forcibly removed from the room? Like, did one of the cardinal's goons come up and like grab her? And
I like to think the cardinal Vulcan neck gripped her and she just like fell over. Yeah.
Yeah, she does. I mean, before that, like Anne is talking.
She's
about
looking for the robe.
Yeah,
yeah. She went to go get the robe, but it's already in the room. So she's just like, "Oh shit, where's the robe? It's her favorite robe. I lost it. I gotta find it." Ah, and that's it. Takes her so long, and that's.
I love.
So she comes running back into the room with another robe, like her backup robe. Is it? Already.
Yeah.
Oh, had it. Oh, okay.
I found
a robe, but it has tassels all over it, so I hope you don't mind.
I didn't think that this was the right one for after the bath.
I love the quote that comes out of the scene where Anne turns to the cardinal and is like, and Otis, by the way, next time, put my robe on after I'm out of the pool.
Yes. That's a good Superman reference.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, also, sorry, backtrack. Anne talks to Constance about like the magic that happened between her and Louis when they first saw each other. It's not
that can't be
registering as real.
Like, come on. Like,
what is
it's the bangs, guys?
Queen Anne's a thing, right? That's a type of. Is it a type of furniture? Or is
it's not this Queen Anne? I don't think.
Okay.
Right. Are you thinking like the cherry cordials?
I don't even know what you
the
just
Queen
said.
Anne candies.
Yeah, like Queen Anne is like brand candy that you buy around February.
I don't know what that is. You just said cherry cordial. I'm like, what? Yeah.
It's a cherry maraschino cherry chocolate.
Is
on
this
top,
a
I
cherry
think.
Cordial?
No, that's a
you smoke. Shut your. All right.
Like I don't know what. Okay, is that what? Is it a Queen Anne candy? Is there a candy called a Queen Anne?
Well, there's a Queen Anne's lace is a type of flower. Plant thing.
Oh, okay, flower plant thing.
Seems to be Queen Anne style architecture and furniture, according.
But it's not this Queen Anne.
I don't know.
If only someone knew. Oh well.
If only we could find out. Wait, has I always? Yeah.
It looks like swordboys.biz@gmail.com. Let us know.
It looks like it's a British Queen Anne. So.
Yes, I assumed it was British. There's a Queen Anne pool in Seattle.
Oh, good. The pool, all the pool has is fluffy pillows on the sides that are all
half
submerged.
And the water is
there's also a Queen Anne beer hall.
Milk bath.
There's a lot of Queen Anne stuff in Seattle. Okay.
Okay.
Good to know.
Did she visit there at some point?
You know, we are very near British Columbia. So, and like Queen Victoria had already claimed all of British Columbia. So maybe Queen Anne was like, I'm just going to go south and stake my claim to a bunch of stuff there.
Gotcha. Queen Anne's like, I like this thing they call flannel. And I'm going to wear this flannel. And everything
very into plaid.
Everything around here is dirty. It's so grunge.
It's so grungy. A little.
So basically.
It's from all the mist.
Mist. So basically, the cardinal is putting the moves on Queen Anne.
Yeah, he's creeping hardcore. He's doing that thing where he'll look into her eyes, and then he will spend most of the scene not looking at her eyes.
Yeah,
and being
so
not
good.
At all subtle about it.
He's so good at this scene. This scene and the next scene with him is so good.
The sexy Pope.
He is a sexy Pope.
Tim Richelieu is no Frankenfurter. I'll say that much.
Well, yeah, he's not betting these people. He's not. No. He doesn't have that.
Although
French,
that would make
je ne sais quoi.
That would make this movie very different if he was pulling a full Frankenfurter.
Oh, if he was, doing both the king and the queen. Yeah, yeah. That would be interesting.
Well, I mean, the menage a trois does originate from France.
Yes, it does.
How do you?
So does the move the Eiffel Tower.
Right.
When did
you gotta
Alice
call
and
in
Grimms
Rochefort for something like that. Anyway, the cardinal is concerned that the king has, quote, fallen into a dreadful melancholy, which I guess is what we're calling blue balls nowadays.
This whole thing could have been an email, by the way. Like,
little
Lord why are you happy to be disturbed?
This whole meeting could have been an email.
I really don't understand Queen Anne fawning over King Louis because, yeah, he's like the bangs and the timid. Like,
you've seen the rest of the people there. The rest of them are all like he's the best looking person in the castle.
It's of the time, and he look. Right. He's good at sword fighting, and he's the.
He's so good. He's
and
so
they're
good
already technically married.
Look at those big doe eyes.
He's got a giant schnoz and Lord
he's
Fauntleroy
about to have
hair.
A birthday.
How old was he really supposed to be? Is he literally like 16 or something? Is something you know, like in the real times, you know, like this movie, you know, fudges the ages of the actual monarchs at this time, and like the monarchs were actually like Queen Anne's really 14.
Well, I did a little bit of reading history wise, and I'm pretty sure Queen Anne and King Louis were married by proxy at 11, and they were brought together at 14 to consummate the marriage.
Oh, good, they waited until they were 14. Thank
you. So
goodness.
Make of that what you will.
Okay, so they're youngins at this point. Right. Gross.
Ugh. Is this before or after he goes to India and takes over like a crew of monkeys and baboons?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about Greystoke, the Legend of Tarzan?
Oh, I wish I was.
Are you talking about the Louie Louie song?
Oh, he's talking about King Louie just wanting to be a man.
King Louie.
I want to be like you. Okay.
Wow. Another Disney movie.
Yeah.
Man.
Add it to the list.
It doesn't have swords in it, thank God.
It's got bananas.
Does it? Does. I think it actually might have some swords in it.
In the Jungle Book?
I don't know, but it has fire.
Fire.
All
right.
Well, you know, Jungle Books come and Jungle Books go, but the one thing that remains the same, apparently, is the Cardinal. I fully expected him to say the thing that stays the same is the church, implying that
he
represents
is
the church.
I am the Senate.
Right.
He's moved past subtlety.
I'm not a committee.
Like, he's tried subtext and he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, he's already, I think once he killed the previous king, he's like, this young queen got nothing. I don't hide anything from her. He's very open.
Yeah. All he's got to do is just lean over her shoulder and breathe onto her neck as he's talking about all they might accomplish together for France. It's like,
I really wanted that. This scene would have been better if they were side by side.
Don't do that.
If they were side by side and they were watching like water ballet in this big, if she was like, I was not taught this, not by a Frenchman. he just keeps looking over at her slowly. The creep factor. I was really happy that this scene ended where it ended, and there was no chicanery.
I'd like this movie as much if there had been.
Yeah, I agree.
If she like gave in.
This movie is actually pretty chaste. Other than the bosom that is shown in this movie, it's pretty chaste.
There's a bosom in this movie?
Yes, at least one.
I think what I like partially about this movie is that all of the like true violence and sexual nature is all implied.
Yeah.
And then there's like jokes. I think that's probably what drew me to this movie is that like if you see somebody truly getting stabbed, it's like a shadow on a wall.
Yeah.
And that's how I like my violence.
And that's how I live my marriage is mostly implied sex and jokes. It's mostly that's how it works.
The implication of sex and jokes. The jokes,
that's how you,
not implied. The jokes are...
Stay married for over 25 years. It's implied sex and jokes.
That's why Jonathan installed that dimmer switch in the bedroom so you can just fade to black.
Yep. And just assume something happened.
The sex happens.
It happened. It happened. I'm sure it did. Is that it? Is everyone done with their notes for? Well, Robin always comes in at the end with something. Do you mind if I talk about
bathtubs? Can we go back?
Let's go back three scenes. Oh, I love that she brings up her favorite Netflix show right before he goes. She looks at him. She's like, I think you should leave.
You get the hell out of here.
No.
You've made two references that are only one of our listeners is going to get.
Well, this is a deeper conversation though. Like, how does chastity bring one closer to God? I was assume you just spend the entire time being like, oh, I just want to have sex, and you're just totally distracted, and you're not like all about like, I don't know.
I think the opposite happens. I think you're supposed to not. I think take all that energy, all the implied sex, and you move that energy toward your faith.
It's the sacrifice. The sacrifice brings you closer to God.
Yeah. And Cardinal Richelieu is like, clearly you've never heard Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I appreciate that one.
Yeah, he's a, I don't get the musical reference, but I'm sure it's very witty.
The song Closer? Okay.
Liz, I am you to music. I am music Liz. That's me. I know three songs, okay?
They're all by Henry Lee Summer.
They are. His entire catalog is so.
It's not large because of the mess.
Yeah, I assume so. Well, I'm sure it was really good, and then it got really bad. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the woods with D'Artagnan and
in this conversation,
one big Athol. Athos.
D'Artagnan is really hoping that they are close to Calais. I can't tell because all of these woods look alike.
Hey,
I know where we are.
At least it's green. You can see things.
Oh yeah, my gosh. Yeah. Where are all the smoke machines?
Yeah. Yeah. Hawk the Slayer taught us that, this is French forests. French forests are beautiful and lush, and English forests are gross.
Don't you like, there's smog. England has a smog problem. France mm-hmm. does not.
Of course.
Although these mercenaries are trying to fix that by firing off their guns and filling the air with smoke on their own.
So they're walking, they're talking, and he's telling him about he knew his dad, and that his dad was murdered by a musketeer, and that musketeer then murdered him. So yeah. We're learning a little more about the three musketeers know D'Artagnan's father.
Yeah. See, Athos is writing, and he says, ah, yes, a young musketeer named Rochefort, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the cardinal hunt down and destroy the musketeers. No. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the musketeers are all but extinct. Rochefort was seduced by the dark side of the force.
Mm-hmm.
See, I heard D'Artagnan's father was the best star pilot in the galaxy and a cunning warrior. And he was a good friend.
He could get on a horse and he could make it spin. He heard that spinning was a good trick and he did that on a horse. It's pretty impressive.
D'Artagnan Sr.'s favorite quote, wahoo!
Wahoo! So I just want to shout this
We're
out
killing
before,
Liz.
Before it happens. This is some
Hang
excellent.
On. That count? Of course I know him. He's me.
D'Artagnan, that's not a name I've heard for a long time.
That crazy old wizard.
We're talking about. Do you think he's talking about Athos?
I'm going to Calais to get power converters.
We did
to waste time with your friends later.
If there's a center of France, you're on the horse that is farthest from.
That's because Calais is by the sea, right?
Yes, that's what I assume.
Mm-hmm. I learned geography from this movie. The one thing I remember the most from this movie is the city Calais.
Yep.
Robin, what were you going to say?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was going to say we're kind of skipping past like a real important part of the movie. There is a horse murder that happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
You said they're walking through the woods. So I was like, the
horses are walking. I'm talking about the horses.
Oh, okay.
If you're riding a horse, the horse is walking. They are walking. So this horse gets shot. I want to shout out this horse. His name is Whitey Axelrod. He is a stunt horse. I want you all to know he's fantastic at this. He takes a shot and just falls over. And it's amazing. It's kind of like the Vulcan neck pinch on Queen Anne's Lady in Waiting. It's excellent. I wasn't expecting horse murder in a Disney movie.
Yeah,
it's a little much. I expected implied horse murder, and then the next shot, the next shot is of a horse with like a, like, you know, they put some jam on its chest.
Listen, I would much rather a horse be shot in the chest and fall over dead than be ridden up a ramp and dove off into a shallow pool.
Yeah.
Like that other movie that Queen Anne is in.
Or, you know, like in, if you've seen Napoleon, oh, horses just get destroyed in that movie. And it's not good. It's not good to watch. But it's the Napoleon movie, if you haven't seen it, is as historically accurate as this Disney Three Musketeers movie. So
yeah, all this happened, and all of Napoleon definitely happened.
So they're at a standoff, and it's very Young Guns, and they've handed him, the worst thing is that he's handing him like all these muskets, because none of the guns, you know, fire more than one bullet, so you have to have like 8 guns ready to go. I'm like, but what are you gonna do when you have to like start loading them again?
You have a reloader. That's someone's role. Is there the reloader? You
right, but he's leaving.
Hand it off, and they reload. When you're left alone, you die.
Yeah, this many.
That's
guys
why there's three
one.
Musketeers.
Mm-hmm. Therefore,
it's a real shame that Jack Bauer here doesn't have his musketeers. Trusty Sig Sauer P228. Because if he did, this fight would be over a lot faster.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about
Toby Kiefer.
Damn it, Chloe! Don't you know this? Who he's talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about swords standing in for guns and vice versa, which kind of makes me
like
wonder,
the Romeo and Juliet movie.
Yeah, should
Baz
we add
learns
that to
Romeo
the list?
Plus Juliet.
You know, because the swords are pistols and the long sword is a shotgun.
We might have to add Romeo and Juliet. It might get in there in a you know.
In a TC Boo, at least.
TC Boo, definitely.
We could do it as a crossover Boo. With those gun boys. Those fucking gun boys. I hate them so much.
Fuckers.
So, yeah, he says, no, go on without me. I'll shoot you myself, which is okay.
That's counterproductive there.
Yeah,
Athos.
You're like, why would you shoot me? That's stupid.
You could shoot him in the foot or something.
You're the same guy who, that's a death sentence this time in France. Any gunshot, any slight abrasion.
He just has to find Porthos and have him spare some of his wine. He'll be fine.
If you brush up against a column in this time period, you may die from the.
To be fair, if I brush up against the wrong shrub in the current time, I might die.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad that D'Artagnan is able to get away without having a Forrest Gump situation where something reaches up and bites him as he's running.
Yeah, he doesn't get shot. I don't think D'Artagnan does get shot in the arm, though, right?
Yeah, it gets. Yeah. It's a grazing shot.
Robin gets winged.
Yep, Robin was just waiting on that joke.
What?
So they go to fencing practice with the king.
I'm so excited!
Look, guys, it's our most sword minute.
Yeah,
they're just so many swords.
Bob Anderson is here, guys. Am I the only one?
You're definitely the most excited.
Okay. Bob, the sword master for so many movies. This is the guy that you would call to your movie to be the sword master. He was an Olympian for Great Britain for fencing in the 50s. He got into Hollywood working with Errol Flynn even on this movie, The Master of Ballantrae, where they had him kind of later, like, well, you're the best swords person, so you might as well be the last fight. And then Errol Flynn needed some stunt help. So he ends up kind of fighting himself. In the stunt work. Because during practice, he ended up slashing Errol's thigh. They dubbed him the man who stabbed Errol Flynn.
Luckily, Errol Flynn at that point was no longer filled with blood, but with alcohol. So he was fine. It cauterized immediately.
He moves on to be, sword master in many movies, including a little movie called Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Mark Hamill is quoted as saying Bob Anderson was the man who actually did Vader's fighting. It was always supposed to be a secret, but I finally told George that I didn't think it was fair anymore. He worked so hard, deserves recognition. Then he moves on from there to Highlander, a little movie called Highlander.
28 episodes of the TV series.
Yep. Barry Lyndon, Princess Bride, the Pirates movies, the Lord of the Rings movies. He actually said in an interview that Viggo Mortensen was the best sword fighter he's ever trained. He also worked on Mask of Zorro, where director Martin Campbell nicknamed him Grumpy Bob because He was a perfectionist.
He's probably 80 years old at that point. He doesn't want to be doing this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Why has no one else learned to use a sword? For love of God, I want to stop doing this. I'm so tired.
And because I know you're going to appreciate the title of the movie, Bob Anderson was also the stunt coordinator on 2013's Afternoon Delight, starring Catherine Hahn and Juno Temple.
Why?
I think I saw that. Were there swords added to the list? I have a quote here. He says, "I never took up the sword. I think the sword took me up." And I just want to name Bob Anderson one of our patron saints for our podcast, at least.
He is definitely getting to have him in a movie is such a treat. Because we haven't had his physical form yet, have we? Because he trained in Highlander. Was he in Highlander? Is he in any of the shots?
I believe earlier in our talking, at least leading up to Three Musketeers, when we were teasing, I said something about him being Fazil. He wasn't Fazil. That was Peter Diamond. That was a moron. He was one of the people who worked on the sword fighting in Highlander. He helped train Sean Connery and King Arthur even too.
Well, let's stop talking about that and let's start talking about this hottie. King Louis.
Oh man, what a babe.
Man, he is. What is he wearing? Puffy shirt, little I would call it a fencing vest.
Yeah, like it's a fencing, padded vest.
A padded vest, because you can tell the swords are all blunted.
They're foils.
Yep. Tell us what you got, the notes you have on the foils, Liz.
That's it.
Okay.
It's a foil. They have hand guards. He's got several different ones to replicate his different swords.
He does have. Why does he have so many?
You got to have options.
Well, my guess is that there's different level. Like some of them are probably heavier than others. So you have to work up to them. And like also different fighting styles would have a different sort of sword. Like one's probably bendier than the rest.
Right. It's funny because he's got a foil or a rapier, whatever you want to call it, as opposed to the sword that the musketeers use, which is a different kind of sword. So I'm wondering if he tries his hand at all swords. I'd rather be good at one thing than all things sort of good, but you know, okay, whatever.
The swordmaster has no bangs. And King Louis has all of the bangs. And I'm wondering, like, as you get better with a sword, do you get less and less?
You get
bangs.
Bang trims.
Right.
And I was just reminded here that the actor that plays him is Emo Phillips. I totally forgot. I spaced it. But go ahead. Sorry.
Really great comedian. And he's not up to big boy swords yet. He has to use little boy swords. I love his little like flourish at the end that he and his sensei do. It's like when you see a little kid at karate practice, and I'm calling it karate practice, when he's at karate practice and he like bows to his sensei, and it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. That's what this reminds me of.
Oh, I love this. I love it. It signifies the fight is over. I'm almost thinking a swipe should replace clink clang or clang clang. It should be podcast like, over.
Well, okay. What the sound you just made, Zoom did not pick up. So just so you know, clang clang.
Note of the time and put a sound of a swipe right where I was doing the sound.
Oh my God.
Hey, Robin, one of these times you're going to turn on the setting in Zoom that lets you actually just make all of the noise you want, but it's not going to be today.
I don't think you guys want to enable that.
So you want to get rid of clang clang and add whoosh? You want to add whoosh?
And people picture in their heads of us swish, you know, respectfully swishing to each other.
Just put in the words respectful swish.
There is an implied swish, I think, in this entire episode.
Got it.
Respectful whoosh. There, just cut that out and use that in place of clang clang.
Respectful whoosh.
Respectful whoosh.
Gosh, it's all this talk about replacing things that have worked so well in the past. It's very troubling. Much like the troubling rumors that King Louis has heard about the Cardinal.
Here we go.
Yeah, skinny back face Elijah Wood.
Skinny face emo Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Has heard bad things about the Cardinal, and the Cardinal basically tells him his entirely dastardly plot, which is always the best.
He's such a great gaslighter.
Oh, he's so good.
He's also going to love when Gaslight becomes like the way they light the palace.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be so great. Excited. I mean, he already did it in the queen's bedroom or a bathroom, whatever. So he already made her feel like, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
When the cardinal shows up, he apologizes to the king for being late because he was wrestling with an important Astaire.
Gross.
He was, quote, wrestling with an important affair of state, which is, I guess, what we're calling masturbation now.
Mm-hmm. Gross.
I wish he was worse at metaphors. And he comes in like, sorry, I'm late, but I was trying to get the water out of a sopping wet pillow. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the milk out of a pillow.
If he's telling the truth, I'd love to know all about his oaths with pagan gods that he mentions as well. So
I don't think he has that, but I assume
think he does.
I think anytime he's dealing with any of the mercenaries, like to him, that's like he's like dealing like he only needs God when he needs him. And he kind of pushes it to the side when he needs to deal with.
Yeah. And when it comes to making oaths with pagans, that's more of a Sheriff of Nottingham type of thing, which, you know, is Rochefort's other boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no witch working for the cardinal.
She's not a witch. She's his wife.
How dare you call a lady a witch?
I will say that everyone keeps a moon hidden carefully in their robes. Everyone. We all have a moon.
All right, you got mark that down. I left.
Yay!
I want a Robin.
Yay, Robin's funny again.
Liz liked my joke. Okay, got it.
Dear diary.
Are you there, God? It's me, Robin. So today, I also love that he's like, yeah, your birthday comes, all your questions will be certainly laid to rest. It's like, yeah, we're going
and
to
I had to
you.
Look this up.
Because you will be.
One of my things, I was like, oh, I wonder, did they actually celebrate king's birthdays? They did. Great. They didn't celebrate normals' birthdays. No one until like the late 1800s, like normals were just like, how old are you? I'm going to die soon anyway. What does it mean? But kings, the fun thing about that fun fact is it's not that fun, but the really fun part is it went all the way back to pharaohs. Pharaohs used to do their birthday, but it was the birthday of when they became a pharaoh and became a god. So pharaohs had birthdays, but it wasn't their actual birthday. It was when they ascended to pharaohdom.
Okay.
Which is that's an interesting fact.
Hmm.
I think the biggest question I have about king's birthdays is does the queen not normally attend a king's birthday? Because Louis seems kind of shocked that Anne is going to be there, and it's like, you are married. She is the queen. It's an official event of state. Why would she not be there?
You ever tried to get a 14-year-old to go anywhere? It's annoying. It's annoying. Okay. Who knows what's gonna happen?
Anne is coming? Yeah, Louis. Anne's coming.
We're having a play date? Yeah, you're having a play date.
Anne's coming? Not with you, apparently.
Hey, Anne, my mom says you have to leave.
It's all the invites went out from King Louis, and all the courtiers show up, and they're like, well, we had to come. Our parents said we had to come to your birthday.
Well, didn't my mom said I had to.
Didn't the French invent the RSVP? Aren't they?
They did.
Yeah. They're like, what if we send out a card that makes them come? Oh, I like that.
The really scary vampire party.
Yes, right. Welcome to the really scary vampire party. our hero D'Artagnan is hurt. He is sleeping. The horse is walking, in case you're wondering. He's not, but the
horse
is walking.
The horse with the great bangs.
He has King Louis bangs.
Amazing fringe.
Yes. That is Liz, you get to name this horse. We haven't I think we've named D'Artagnan's horse before, but as a guest, I would love you to name him.
Or Sugar her. Muffin.
Sugar Muffin. Let's write that down.
I appreciate that Sugar Muffin doesn't hang around.
Nope.
Sugar muffins on the move.
I'm not trained to worry about my riders.
We don't have a bond.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't his original horse. He gave that one to a kid.
Yep.
So Sugar Muffin has no loyalty to D'Artagnan and is tired. Sugar Muffin's thirsty.
Yep. Yeah. Sugar Muffin thinks that entire ocean is drinkable. Stupid. Stupid horse.
Big water.
Yep. So the Sugar Muffin's gone and he's passed out. And then a cart comes up. And then we meet. We haven't been introduced to her yet, but we meet Milady and her two henchmen, the greatest two henchmen out of nowhere. They're out of nowhere. We got Parker. I really hope that the Asian guy is Parker.
He is. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And then the Space Scar guy is Henri.
Well, she calls him Henry.
Yeah.
Well, they're translating the French for us.
Yeah.
If you want to
be French, like about it's Henri.
When they show up, I'm like, Henry. I'm kind of like, am I watching Ice Pirates or not Ice Pirates, but Time Bandits? I'm like, what is this? Like, it's a very weird. I would not expect the two men that come up to come up into the scene. Like, they kind of look down at the body. It's like you got this one guy from Central Casting, and he seems Cockney. He's like, oh, look what we have here. Look what we got ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy doesn't really talk. Parker. Right. Parker's a very, very quiet man. But they, Milady de Winter picks him up because he's handsome. She picks up,
I guess,
basically, she picks up road trash.
Attractive road trash.
Yeah. And puts it in there. Yeah, you know, I might be able to have sex with this road trash later. So bring him along.
If you want a little giggle, this location is in Cornwall, England, and it's called Rump's Point.
Mm.
Rump's Point. Or just the Rumps.
Mm, nice. It's very beautiful.
My lovely lady Rumps. Nope. I regret that.
Liz, just so you know, I laughed. I did laugh at that one.
I'm not worried about it. I get laughs all the time.
And speaking of Rumps, D'Artagnan wakes up to two chest Rumps.
Lovely lady chest
Rumps. Her lovely lady Lumps. Yeah. And Rebecca de Mornay is on in full, whatever you want to call it.
Full seduction mode, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. As an she's actress and a person, cradle. I don't really know that she's ever not been, like, even when she's like at herself and not acting, she's incredibly attractive. And not only attractive, she has something about the way she speaks. I don't know what it is. She's just alluring.
One of those women.
And luckily she has bangs just like D'Artagnan and the king. So
it's a noble thing. Apparently only nobles could have bangs.
This is the movie telling us they're sexy. The horse, Sugar Muffin, sexy. Milady de Winter, sexy.
The first thing that Milady de Winter says to D'Artagnan when he wakes up is, welcome back. Did you dream? And it's like, if I ever woke up in that situation, I would insist that I was still awake or I'm still asleep. There is no way that I would ever be awake in this situation.
I'd wake up and go, honk, honk. Nope, I'm awake. I'm awake. And I apologize. Sorry.
And then he's like, where am I? And she's like, this ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is Calais.
Well, your references. Sorry. If it's from a song, I don't know it.
Listen, all she wants to do is have some fun.
Yeah.
Someone just take a picture
next to me.
Someone just take a picture of Robin's face when he's doing a musical reference, because it's always this. And I don't know. I just know that means it's a musical reference. I don't know the musical reference.
But, okay. The problem with that musical reference is that they're there at noon on Tuesday. They're 12 hours early.
Oh, no.
At a bar that faces a giant car wash.
And we get to see most of D'Artagnan that we're going to see in this movie.
Yes. I do really appreciate that, you know, this movie gives something for the young women that, you know, wanted to go see this movie in the 90s.
Rippling boy body. Yes.
Yeah.
He's got bod goals, but it's smooth.
It's so smooth. It's disconcertingly smooth. I just want to say that, just so everyone knows, we're doing this movie in the year of our Lord 2024. All the kids in my son's high school have this haircut that D'Artagnan has. They all have this weird afro hair now. This
it's
is
curly nothing.
Yeah, it's curly nothing. It's come back, by the way. My son had this until France. A couple of weeks ago, and then he Mahomes did on the side, and now he's got it on top, but
I'm sorry,
nothing
what?
On the side. Mahomes. Oh, let me do this. Mahomes. It's a football reference. I did the.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
And so they're talking. She's wooing him, I guess. And then he's the worst spy. He's really bad at this.
He wakes up and he's like, spy details.
He's like, yeah. Calais, I've got to tell somebody
Tuesday
about somebody.
Midnight. Oh, now you know I'm onto you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she says, okay. Do you have a name or shall I make one up for you? And he's like, my name's D'Artagnan. She's like, I like that. It's like, oh my God, he is eating out of her hands.
I'm D'Artagnan, kid detective.
I like that.
I can drink anything you put in front of me. Yeah. He is a kid detective in this. Golly gee, ma'am. I think part of your shirt fell off.
He reminds you of the kid detective from the Bureau of Balance Adventure Zone. What was his name?
Oh, I forget. Oh my God, that's a million. Oh, that talk about references, only one person's gonna get.
I know, but I know you'll know.
I don't remember the kid's name. Like, yeah, he's like the little boy detective. He's the most annoying character in the.
I just want Griffin McElroy to like dub over the voice to everything D'Artagnan says now. Gee, mister, I can drink anything you put in front of me.
Gosh. So,
hey, lady, I'm a spy. My grandfather's silverware.
His name is Angus MacDonald.
Yes, Angus.
And he talks like this. Hello, sirs. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, sirs. That's my basically... grandfather's silverware.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, you have a fleur-de-lis on your shoulder.
Oh, I think that means you're Aramis's wife? Aramis was the... Oh.
He was the count all along. This is like a horrible children's Choose Your Adventure book.
That little interlude was for three people.
Not even.
Well, if George listens.
Yeah, maybe. So I really, she's what m'lady?
I appreciate that m'lady de Winter knows exactly who to go to for her laundering, because she tells D'Artagnan your clothes aren't going to be ready for another hour, and it's like, wow, my modern water washing machine is not that accurate. So
mine says 34 minutes, but then it does something else in between, and it's never done in 34 minutes.
You come back half an hour later, and it's like, oh, now you've got 45 minutes until you're done. Like, okay.
Was that 30 minutes of what? Washing? And now it's
of
in the
identifying cycle? The mess.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Golly gee, why are these clothes so dirty?
I don't know who this launderer is, but they're really good.
Goodness, I'm only wearing my small clothes underneath. So listen, yeah,
you got to wear the long legged small clothes. That way it cuts down on the chafing from all the horse riding.
That's true. I will admit, as a person who has ridden horse in, I've ridden in jeans, which is normal, but I've also ridden it in shorts. I've ridden a horse on shorts. It's one of the worst experiences of my life. It is.
You seems know, bad.
Horses seem like they're super smooth and wonderful. They're not. They're not. Golly gee, horses aren't smooth. They're not smooth.
Golly
at all.
Gee, horses aren't smooth.
They're not. They're rough. Oh, it hurts so bad. I actually had to put on a pair of chaps, which is pretty funny with shorts, but it's the only thing that like saved my inner thigh.
Get that little peak of skin.
Well, from the back, I was wearing chaps. I was literally looked like a sex dungeon worker. I'm wearing shorts with chaps.
Yeah, someone was dropping a glowing leech into your ear, and then you got real angry.
Yeah, I look like a sex warrior from Beastmaster.
Yeah.
So he basically spills the plan, golly gee, and then she tries to murder him with her hair sword.
Yeah, D'Artagnan says, I'm on a mission for the king, and Milady de Winter says, I've heard that before. So I guess that's a common pickup line in Calais.
Yeah, like if you're just like a vagabond, like running from the law, you're like, oh, I'm not running from the law. I'm on a mission from the king.
I'm not woefully unemployed. I'm on a mission for the king.
It's the 17th century version of crypto trader.
Right.
Oh, he's like a bro. Is he wearing a vest? He was wearing a little vest earlier. So
yeah, see? He's a
Chad. The last time D'Artagnan's had a shower or a bath, you think?
Well, none of these people definitely have bathed ever.
If it
he
helps,
definitely he got one from
Milady licked him clean.
So yeah.
He doesn't look like he's been face? In a cannonball what fight.
His face is the best. Just like, oh my God. This is why we're sword boys and not sword gentlemen. Okay.
See, I assumed that she like had him bathed in front of her so that she could watch.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know about this licking.
She definitely put back on his giant pantaloons. She put them back on him.
Poor Parker. Jeez.
Yeah, I imagine Parker.
Had to wash all of him?
Oh, oh. She made Parker do it?
Yeah.
Oh. I just want to watch.
So when he kicks him in the face, he's like, you know, I bathed you like an hour ago. Now I'm kicking you in the face.
I know all your weaknesses. I've seen you naked.
That is true. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
if you see somebody naked, you probably do know all their weaknesses.
I just love that the Lady De Winter has a kung fu guy. Yeah. It just feels very nice.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah.
Kung Fu.
This is what I've been waiting for.
And the artful dodger. This other fucking guy. It's like, oh yeah, I'm a toy. Yeah, she found me in London. I was a pickpocket.
Can I talk about Parker?
I don't think we're going to be able to stop you.
Yeah, tell us all about Parker. Philip Tan.
Philip Tan, born in Singapore, moved to the UK at age 5, became a champion at gymnastics, then martial arts, and then disco dancing. He won 7 disco championships. But he's mostly stunt work for a ton of great films. Temple of Doom, Batman, Tokyo Drift, all pretty much the same quality of movie.
Hold on. There's not a lot of kicking in Tokyo Drift. What was he doing there?
You know, he was there
Was he there with the Drift King and with the Drift King and that horrible kid?
Yeah,
the cowboy.
I think he was. I don't know. He trained Ki Huy Quan for Temple of Doom.
There you go.
He trained our old friend Christopher Lambert for Greystoke. And apparently, he must be great friends with Ken Jeong because he is Ken's stunt double in all 3 Hangover movies. And for some reason, on his sitcom Dr. Ken, Philip Tan worked as the stunt coordinator, which I never saw the movie, but the show. But right around the time he filmed 3 Musketeers, I was like, oh my God, I know this guy from somewhere. Yeah, he was in Martial Law with Chad McQueen and Cynthia Rothrock. Chad played Dutch in the original Karate Kid, so we did do a special TC Boo of that on Karate Kid in it, although we didn't call it TC Boo.
Philip Tan also did stunts on Hot Shots Part 2, so he was off doing that other movie with Charlie Sheen instead of being around for sword training.
Well, luckily he doesn't need sword training because his feet are his swords.
Yeah, feet are just, you know, very flat.
The swords of the body.
Swords.
They're meat swords.
On. Yeah.
They got to leave because they're. I guess they don't really know if this terrible, you know, spy actually is smart and has already like set a trap for them. So they take him with him. And as they're leaving, we see the deep voiced current Count De Winter show up. And it's very ADR. It's like, I'm here to get my, have you seen the Lady De Winter? And the other guy's like,
Why doesn't D'Artagnan go, hey, up here?
Because he's got a knife to his neck.
Jeepers, mister, I'm up here.
They're like, nobody could be truly this stupid, right? Like, there's a plan here. He's doing this on purpose.
This is obviously a ruse.
Right? Right?
You didn't know that this is, it's funny enough. Jeepers, he acts just like this in every movie. In Vertical Limit, he's boy mountain climber.
Golly gee, I gotta get up there and get my sister or she dies of edema.
I just watched the movie recently, so I know what.
I think that might be the Chris O'Donnell problem, is that he is eternally Angus, the boy
McDonald,
like boy detective. Yeah,
he is. I mean, even on that new CSI, whatever show, NCIS, whatever the hell, whatever
Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's on. I'm sure he tries to act like a man, but it just seems like he's just like, jeepers, I get to drive a car today. Yeah. I mean, that's what I assume. And this cut ends with them running away.
Wow. Is this as far as of the movie that you've seen so far, Liz? Or, you've seen it before.
I've seen the whole movie.
She knows what happened. Okay. Now, Now, at later in the movie, we find out her real name, right? And the sixth cut is when I believe.
Well, we introduced her as Liz. That's her real name. Oh, we're talking about somebody else.
No, I'm talking about Lady de Winter.
Okay.
She goes in the fifth cut. We learn her name, right? Doesn't he call her? But doesn't Athos call her? He doesn't call her Milady.
Uh-huh.
He calls her Pam. Let's call her Milady Pam de Winter.
I mean, she introduces herself as de Winter.
Her name is Sabine.
Okay. Yes. Because in my mind, I hear his voice. Right. Going, Sabine. Like,
yeah.
He says it.
Damn it, Sabine.
Took me a moment, but I found it in my
notes.
You
are quite possibly the worst Jedi I've ever heard of.
Oh, but you have heard of him.
Yes. Yeah, and this cut four ends with the getaway.
With them slipping out the back.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that everybody should come back, because next time, the Musketeers reunite aboard the Persephone, where they foil Milady's attempt to escape. With Richelieu's treaty in hand, Athos interrogates Milady, but only when she begs for forgiveness does she reveal the Cardinal's scheme. As Richelieu prepares to assassinate the king, the Musketeers race back to Paris, calling for their brothers in arms to rally to the king's aid. With the king's birthday celebration underway, D'Artagnan is able to foil the attempt, and the Musketeers reveal themselves to take control of the castle. Dust off those swords and tunics for cut five of the Three Musketeers.
I can't wait to see. I miss Crapton Rochefort. That's who I miss.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've seen him.
Yeah. It's been a while since he's seen his left side of his body.
I hope he wasn't stabbed in a throwaway scene in the middle of the movie, removing him from the rest of the narrative.
Who is that?
That's what happens to him his Prince of Thieves character.
Oh, yeah.
Stabbed halfway through the movie.
Oh, yeah. What does removed. Happen to him in that? Well, that's for Travis Bow and the.
That's for Minute
Robin
of
Hood.
Thieves.
Yeah, Minute of Thieves can deal with that.
Fuck those guys.
No, we that, like Ron.
We like those guys. There's not more than one. It's just Travis.
Travis of the Bow.
So, yeah, this is a great cut. Having Liz on is always a great guest. You bring so much to this. This was is this one?
Oh, I thought
you
were going to keep saying nice things about me.
Oh, you're so tall. And smell good. How's that?
Oh. Okay. All right.
I can stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you can stop now.
All right.
Thank you.
Lick yourself clean and get ready for next week's episode. Actually, I said next week's 2 weeks. Guys, yeah, don't come back next week. There won't be an episode.
No. Yeah, cut five isn't happening until the end of April here.
If you come back next week, you just have to listen to this one again.
Yep.
Liz, we're here in the middle of April. Is there anything you'd like to plug? Anything we should check out?
Mean Girls Musical Minute?
No, I've been working really hard on a coloring book. So maybe that'll be published by then.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't know, Liz does really good line art.
And she also used to podcast.
Yeah, once upon a time, I used to podcast. Now I listen to audiobooks and draw coloring books.
Hell yeah.
And hang out with her friends. Coloring we all get books. Drunk and punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, if you want to find us, we're at swordboys.biz on the internet. It's got all of our links. And go find Swordboys on Instagram and on
that's
the
also where I'm going to sell my coloring book.
Yeah, on the TikToks.
Swordboys.biz.
Swordboys.biz. There will be no links to coloring books on there. Sorry.
But you can buy our t-shirts.
Yeah, buy our t-shirts.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, and we'll see you next time with this implied swish.
Respectful swish.
Respectful swish.
Cling clang.
Cling clang. Cling
clang. All for one.
And one for all.
Golly gee. Golly gee, mister. That was a great ending. Let's make it all for one. And all.